I'm so thankful to be here. I'm thankful with Pastor Andrew, Josh, all the elders that support us. I remember before leaving to Colombia, I visited this church 5 years ago, telling about what the Lord is guiding us to return to our country. I came to study here to the States in 2015 to study at the Master Seminary. I came from Colombia with my wife. At that point, we just had 1 year of marriage, so most of our marriage happened in those 4 years, those 6 years in LA. That was a blessing. We learned a lot of theological truths, how to handle the word of God, but also to how to do ministry. And I'm so thankful with this church because you support us from the beginning with your prayers, with your financial support, and you are being part of our lives, and we are so thankful for that. We also received the team that you sent last year, and it's been a blessing, all that the relationship that we have as a church. And I want to show you some pictures that we have. This was our first service. So we arrived in 2021 on a Thursday, and then the first Sunday we have our first gathering, the first service. So we bought a couple of tents. That's a nice story. The night before, there was like a huge raining and destroyed one of the tents. I remember that day just making jokes telling the people don't feel that that's a sign of the Lord that we should not proceed with this church. But at the end, we have one of the tents remained. That was the first service. We started with 20 people, 25 people. And we did the main thing that we've been doing for these past 5 years, that is preaching the word of God, worshiping our Lord. And then several weeks after that, we moved to a hotel room. I remember the house of the brother that opened his patio. He said, like, we cannot feed anyone else here, so we should move. So we moved to this hotel room. That group started growing. Every week we received visitors from these past 5 years. And then we moved to another hotel because sometimes we call the hotel and they say, like, this Sunday there is not going to be available. Sometimes that happened and people arrive to the wrong hotel. I hope they keep praying that Sunday at some point. But we moved to different rooms in the city. And then we moved to our third move happened to a car dealership mall. That's a mall where they sell taxis and motorcycles. So the good thing is that on Sundays they don't open to the public. So they rent the place for us. And they have a big auditorium there, I think for around 300 people. And we did all our ministry around the mall, like in the middle of the motorcycles, among in the middle of the taxis. So I have some pictures of that. As you see, that's children ministry in the middle of the motorcycles. That was interesting sometimes trying to find the kids inside of a taxi or on the top of a bike. So that was good. The fellowship area, we did it, and the motorcycles are there. So all that is been part of our history of our church. We moved to many cities, many places in the city, and we give thanks to the Lord because that make our church a serving church, a church full of servants. We need to prepare every Sunday the service, the ministries, the chairs, the tables, and everything. But that's been a blessing for us. And finally, we get to the last place that we are now, and that's a event center. At this point, we have an attendance that is above 800 people, and it's more than the numbers. What the Lord is doing is, as I can tell, a spiritual awakening among the people. It's not just the numbers, but what is happening among the families. People are being saved, families are being transformed, and it's a blessing. I receive calls from people in our church saying, like, the Lord is doing a great thing in our families. Just to give you one example, many people arrive to our church saying that they trust in Jesus, that they believe in the Bible, but they don't really understand the gospel. What the Lord do is save them and then transform their families. And one day I received a call from one man, and he said, like, Pastor, we are toward the doctor because we are we are removing the surgery that I had to for not having kids. And please pray, because we are praying to the Lord that we have can have kids in our family, and that they can become worshipers of God. So we are having many people that arrive saying, like, we are not going to have kids. We are going to be just focused in us. And now many people that I know, they are parents of several babies in the church. So just to give you one example of the radical transformation that people are getting when they believe in Jesus Christ, they say, they confess their sins, trust in Jesus, but their whole lives are transformed. So it's not just number, but what the Lord is doing among the people. So we are proclaiming the gospel for the families. That's one of our focus. We do our evangelism focus in families. That's an image for the marriage retreat. Also, we focus in the youth. Maybe you can recognize some of the faces there. Those are a retreat that we did with Hickman Community Church last year. You helped us in that process, in that event, and was a blessing. We're investing in the youth people. There is also another ministry opportunity that we are working on, is that with the church now there in Colombia that is growing, that the Lord is blessing in a special way. Like many years in the past, people in Latin America, here's some expository preaching from YouTube, the Hickman Community Church, Grace Community Church. So they kind of think like, that's good, that sounds good, expository preaching, biblical churches, but maybe that's like an American thing. That's like a gringo thing. But when now the people in our context start looking that, no, that's happening in our country, that's happening in Latin America, they start realizing that that's not an American thing, but it's a biblical thing, how a church should behave, how the preaching should be. And what is starting happening is that we're starting getting requests for many churches, many places around Colombia, but in Latin America. One of those is Venezuela. There is a group of 50 people that get together every Sunday. They are receiving our messages online, but we are praying for a pastor to go there and preach the word of God. And we are receiving the same from Peru, from Ecuador, and many cities in Colombia. So please pray that the ministry of planting churches in the coming years are a reality. And you know the blessing to have a church. And there are many cities and even countries that don't have like a biblical church established. So all the work is to do, and we are thanked to the Lord that we are part of that. So gospel for everyone. Yeah, just showing a taste. This is a brother, Noé. He have a past that really difficult, really far away from the church, but the Lord saved him. He now come to the church and he want to serve the Lord, to give his life to the Lord. And now Noé is one of the guys that everyone loves in the church, and showed all what the Lord is doing. And also many people in different areas of the city that we are working with them. But especially I want to emphasize and end the report with the gospel for my own family. We have a new member. That's the small baby, Danny. So I have a kid, 8 years old, Santi, and Danny that is 6 months. As you can realize, we've been praying for that boy for 8 years. Santi said that he's going to be the help us raising up Danny. He said, like, if you need something, I am the one that know how to make him behave well. So we have a great help with Santi. But yeah, we are so thankful. Our family is doing great by the grace of the Lord. And the only thing that I can say is that the Lord is, I don't know if that's, yeah, that's another slide. I just can say thank you to the Lord. Lord, show us his grace in many ways. And I'm so thankful. Not many people know that story, but before leaving, I had the opportunity to pastor a church here, and Spanish ministry. And I remember that everything sounds like nice and good. But then I start realizing with my wife, I receive the best training as possible. And I say, like, how a country is without a church, and how I'm not going to return to my country and preach the gospel there. So I think that was the blessing in our lives to go return and help the establishment of the kingdom at this point in Colombia and in Latin America. And thank you so much, because you are part of that. With your prayers, with your support, you are part of what the Lord is doing in Colombia, and we are so thankful. So this morning I ask you to come to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. And for sure you know that the foundation of what the Lord is doing in Colombia and what He do in every church, the foundation is the grace of God. We don't have any other explanation, because who can change a heart? Who can sanctify someone? The only one that can do that change someone is the Lord. So the main foundation is the grace of God of the work that we are doing. But in the human perspective, there are some areas that we emphasize, that we work on. And I think that those main areas in which we work in the church is preaching. Preaching is the first thing. We preach the word. We try to explain the best as we can, as best as we understand the word of God and apply it to the people of God. But there is a second thing that we try to work hard, and is a culture of counseling. That's that not just the pastors or the leaders in the church counsel, but the whole congregation counsel each other. That's the way you become a church that have a culture of counseling, that everyone understand that each conversation with someone in the church is an opportunity to give the wisdom of the Lord. And we need to understand that to create a culture in the church. But there is a third element that we practice as a church, and is hospitality. And I think that sometimes hospitality is something that is neglected, something that people see as a small virtue, that something not important. But that's not the way the New Testament presents hospitality. That's one of the core virtues of a believer. That's a way to show maturity. And I want you to consider in this morning Hebrews 13, verse 2. And we are going to see hospitality. And that is more than opening your house. It's opening your heart. So please pray with me. Please pray that the Lord help me. English is not my second language, but like probably the fifth. I don't know. Like. So that you can understand, that I can communicate well, but if you don't understand something, imagine that was something good. But let's pray that the Lord help us. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for this church that has been a blessing for us in many ways. Thank you for the love that we receive from this church, the support. And I ask that you bless in a special way the people that are gathered together today, that your work make the things that you are the only one can do. I ask that you help me to be clear, to explain your word in a right way, and that you do the purpose that you have. I ask that you bless us, and I ask that you help me. Please, I pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so Hebrews 13:2 says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it." So the proposition for this morning, the main idea, is that today we will consider that when we practice hospitality, we are opening more than our home. We are opening our hearts and our lives to reflect the love we have received from Jesus Christ. Like, hospitality is more than inviting people to your home. Hospitality is really opening your life to other people to show the love that you already received from the Lord. So we are going to see this verse in Hebrews 13:2, and we are going to divide it in three parts. The commandment to show hospitality neglected, the command to show hospitality explained, and the command to show hospitality reward. So let's go with the first point. That's the command to show hospitality neglected. See Hebrews 13, verse 2, and it says, "Do not forget to show hospitality." So the first thing that we need to understand is the context of this verse. It's really important to understand where this verse is located. It appears at the end of the letter to the Hebrews. And that is not by chance. It follows the most common faithful preaching pattern from the apostle until today. What is that? The apostles, especially Paul and Peter and other authors in the New Testament, do something in their letters, do something in their teachings, and is that they start with theological truths at the beginning. You have that example, for example, in Ephesians. You get the first chapters and you get the great theological truths. In chapter 1, you see like the Trinitarian salvation. We have the Father that predestined. We have the Son that accomplished the work of salvation, giving his life. And then we have the Holy Spirit that is a seal in our hearts. And you get all that big theology in the first chapters about the church. He prays in the first chapters. But then at the end of the letter, he comes more practical. He starts with the indicatives that are the theological truths, and he finishes with the imperatives, the practical side. And that's not just the case with Paul, but Peter do the same, and the author of Hebrews do the same. And that have huge implications. And what are that? Why am I emphasizing that? The huge implication of that is because if you start Christian life just trying to obey the commandments that believers should do, but you don't understand the gospel first, that's going to be a way to apostasy at the end. There are many people that arrive to Christian churches and start behaving well. They start acting as Christians. They practice what Christians do. They start talking in the way Christians talk, but they never receive the gospel. They never believe the gospel, really. And that's really dangerous. That's really dangerous, and I think that's the reason the way the books in the New Testament are structured. They start with theological truths. They start with the gospel. And then when you believe the gospel, now you are able and you are commanded to obey. The other way is really dangerous, that you come and start acting as a Christian. You show hospitality because that's what Christians do. You start talking about the sovereignty of God, but you never trust really in God. And that's really dangerous, and I ask you to consider that before trying to do many things, before trying to act as a Pharisee. Please, first thing, I already trust in Jesus. Is really Jesus my Savior? Is really Jesus my treasure? Or I'm just practicing like the normal religion that I am attending for many years. And I think that's huge implications for us. Understanding that command of hospitality is at the end, it is not by chance. It's not that because the author of Hebrews is trying to fill out the space. It's because, you know, that now that you treasure Jesus, now that he is above everything in your life, that's the way you should behave. If that's true in your life, you behave in that way. So, you know, the text of Hebrews emphasizes that Jesus is our biggest treasure. You know, chapters 1 and chapter 2 shows the superiority of Christ over angels and the law. Chapter 3 and 4, the superiority of Christ over Moses and the promised land. Chapter 5 and 7, the superiority of Christ over the priestly system. And chapter 8 to 10, the superiority of Christ over the sacrificial system. Then we have the heroes of the faith, people that treasure Jesus and keep their faith till the end. Then the focus on Jesus. And then we have finally this chapter 13 with some practical commands. So the indicatives at the beginning, theological truths that we should believe, that we should treasure. And at the end, the practical side. And that's the context where we get Hebrews 13. God is our prayer, is our treasure, and then we practice what he commands, but because he already saved us. So see Hebrews 13, verse 2. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. So this is the clear command, and what he's saying is, do not forget to do something that is important and fundamental to the Christian life. Hospitality is not just another requirement, but it's important. Do not forget to practice the commands your Lord Jesus Christ has given and which please him. See verse 16 in the same chapter. That instruction of not neglecting appears there. Look, Hebrews 13, 16 says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So the Lord is talking about some commandments that he pleased on that commandments. And he said, don't neglect. And you know, sometimes we don't forget the commandments of God, but we neglect it. And this word that appears there, do not neglect. These words can mean to fail to remember, but it also carries the idea of neglecting our responsibilities. Do not neglect. See in your Bibles there, when it appears in the original, is a present tense imperative. And why is important to mention the grammar there? Because when a verb appears in a present tense and it's an imperative in the New Testament, it shows that it should be a pattern in the life of a Christian. So when it says show hospitality, it's saying that that should be the way you live. That's like a normal. It's not that you say like, oh yeah, I practiced hospitality like some years ago. No, that should be the part of your life. It's like your testimony day to day. If I ask you today, how are you keeping the command to show hospitality? What would you say? How are you in this area? Are you opening your home, your heart, and your life to love others? Or the idol of comfort is been gaining ground in recent months? Ask you, how are you in this area? I'm not talking just that you are opening your house to have some lunch, that you receive some people for the Super Bowl. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you are really opening your heart and your life to know other people. Even from this congregation that you say that is your family, but maybe you don't know the name of some people here, that you don't know anything about the lives of people that you say that are your family, your spiritual family. So I think it's good to stop and say, like, I'm doing this, and how I can consider my life and my testimony regarding this commandment. And it says clearly, do not neglect to show hospitality. And this is not a random idea from the author of Hebrews, but it's from the mind of God. It's an inspired commandment. And it's really important for the church, as we are going to see. Hebrews 13:2, do not neglect to show hospitality. There are some commentators that say that the recipients of this letter may have been facing persecution, financial needs. Others were Jews who were embraced Christianity but were losing their initial passion for Christ. And at the end, the passion that is getting cold for Christ are also showing that they are not showing love to others around them. Consider some reasons a person might not be hospitable. A reason that could happen at that point, people that don't have too much resources or people that are getting cold in their faith. But nowadays, are also reasons for people to don't be hospitable. So consider some reasons a person might not be hospitable. One of them is being hospitable often requires giving up our comfort. Yeah, sometimes it's more comfortable to be without some people at home, to not open our lives, to don't say hi to someone that we don't know. That's not always easy. Being hospitable requires generosity. Being hospitable requires giving our time. Being hospitable makes us vulnerable to others who will know more about our private lives. So as you start considering, practicing hospitality needs more than one virtue in the Christian life. And I think that's the reason why practicing hospitality needs other virtues from the Christian life. Needs to have a spiritual and a maturity in Christian life to really show real hospitality. There are many excuses people may give for not opening their home to serve others, but those reasons are just often excuses to neglect a command the Bible gives repeatedly. I'm going to tell you a story about a family that we have. That's a family, a husband and a wife, and they have a little daughter. And they have a house that is really, really small. And they don't have too much resources. But I think that family is one of the most hospitable families in our church. Even when there are new people, and I know that people is attending the church, for example, 1 month or 2 months, I always know, if I want to know about that new family, I need to go to that family that receives always the new people. They always try to invite them to their home, and they don't do like a fancy lunch or something like that. What they do is like they tell the people, like, bring the bread, I'm going to put the coffee. And they have a time together on Sunday answering questions. Many people come to our church with many questions. They don't know why we sing the way we sing. They don't know why we preach the way we preach. They have many questions. And those times, Sundays in the afternoon, are times to share the gospel, answering questions, and know the people that are new to our church. So you don't need a better house to do hospitality. You need a better heart. And just the Lord can do that. Transform our hearts and don't be focused just in ourselves, but see what the Lord gave us and how we can use that to serve others, to love others, to show the love that we receive from the Lord and now show to other people. So we have the first point, that is the command to show hospitality neglected. Let's see the second point. The command to show hospitality explained. See the verse 13, verse 2. It says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. We must not only avoid neglecting the command, but actively look for ways to show more and better hospitality. What it means, hospitality? Look the word there. The word hospitality means showing love or kindness to a stranger. That's like the core meaning of that word. Show love and kindness to the strangers. But some people think that it only means loving people we don't know at all. But I believe it generally means opening our homes to show love to people outside our blood family. So it's not just that you invite people that you don't know at all, just missionaries that when they come, or believers that come from other cities, but it's opening your house, your intimacy, to other people that are not from your blood family, but they are from your spiritual family. And even if they are not from your spiritual family, you are opening your house because you want them to become part of your spiritual family. When you invite neighbors or someone, you open your house so you can show the love of God and bless them. Hospitality is more than opening our homes. Hospitality is opening our heart and life to reflect the love of Jesus Christ to others. Hospitality is an expression of the family love the church should show. Hospitality is a distinguishing mark of biblical Christianity. We open our homes to people that we love, and when we open our doors to a stranger, we are saying, even though I do not know you, I love you, and I open my home because you are my family. So hospitality is a sign of the love we receive from Jesus, and now we must show as a reflection of him. I want you to understand something that is really, really important. And that's one of the main points of what I want to say this morning, and is this. The most hospitable being in the universe is God himself. You understand? This is all related with the gospel. We are strangers, really apart from God. Not just because we are creation, but we are his enemies in the way we behave. And as you see, the gospel is a reflection of the great and abundant hospitality of God that says, like, I want to save you, but I want you to come close to me. And that's what the Lord do. He invite us to be part of his family. He adopt us. If we are his children, we should show the same kind of love. So the most hospitable being in the universe is God himself. If you think in Jesus, in his incarnation, he showed the same as the Father. He invite the people around him to be part of his life. How he did discipleship, how he trained pastors, he spent time with them. He traveled with them. He spent time with them and opened his life to them. I always think, like, how was the experience of our Lord, like the Most High King of Kings, coming to this dirty world full of sinners? And imagine a meeting that Jesus Christ is there with all the sinners, the worst sinners. Like I don't imagine that was like a fancy fest with really, really respectful conversations. That's not the beginning. people with many sins, many bad situations, but the Lord opening his life to show them love, to show them the gospel and save them. So the Lord is the universe hospitable being above all. In John 14:2 says that Jesus is preparing a space for us on heaven in the house of his Father. So we normally neglect this metaphor that God is a host that receives us in our house. You can think in Psalm 23. What is the first metaphor that comes to your mind in Psalm 23? The Lord is our shepherd. Yeah. But see what it says, Psalm 23, verse 5. It says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. So in Psalm 23, Yahweh, the Lord, transformed the metaphor. He starts as a shepherd, but then he becomes a host that receives the people in his own house. See, it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love kindness will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. So the Lord is the most hospitable being in the universe, and we need to reflect the same. We receive that in the gospel. Now we need to do it with our people. Show love. Show our heart to them and send, share the gospel with them. Many of you probably know Alexander Strauch. He's a pastor that wrote books about ecclesiology, and he has a small booklet about hospitality, and I recommend that you read that book. If you want to grow in that, he has all the theological perspective there, but he also have a practical way how you can use hospitality to glorify God in a practical way. And he say in that book the following. He say, unless we open the doors of our homes, the reality of the church as a family will remain only as a theory. If we don't open our lives and our homes, the reality of the church as a family will remain only as a theory. But look at this command in Hebrews 13:2 is not an isolated command. It's something that appears in the New Testament in several passages. Please come to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. There's something really interesting about the hospitality commandments. Normally, when it appears in the New Testament, always come, or most of the time come, connected with the commandment of show love. It says, the Lord said that you should love to each one another, and normally it's connected with show hospitality. So it's a way to why you show real love. So Romans 12, verse 9, say this the following. It says, let love be without hypocrisy, by abhorring what is evil, clinging to what is good, being devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor, nor lagging behind in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in affliction, being devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, pursuing hospitality. And then we can think in 3 John, verse 5-8. Do you remember that encouragement from John to Gaius, his disciple? And he said, beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever work you do for the brothers, and are doing this though they are strangers, and they bore witness to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on the way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name, receiving nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth. We say that when you receive people in your house, in your life, you are becoming fellow workers. You are working together in the gospel ministry that worker is doing. So we can show hospitality to members of our local church, but it's also important to bless brothers and sisters from other cities or countries, missionaries, pastors, and believers that come from outside. Right, something important that the New Testament emphasizes. Hospitality must be denied sometimes. Hospitality must be denied sometimes. For example, in 2 John verse 10 and 11 say that when we are dealing with false teachers, we need to deny hospitality. How that works? It says that if you open your house, if you support a ministry that is teaching false doctrine, you are co-working with that ministry. So we need to deny hospitality in at some points when the false teaching is spreading. But there is another case that appears in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 11 to 13, and is when someone who calls himself a Christian but lives in an open sin. We need to apart from that kind of people that say with their lips that are believers, but with their life they show that they are not believers. The interaction that we should have with that kind of people is not a close friendship, but always trying to show the gospel to them. That's an important clarification that the New Testament gives us about hospitality. What else? Hospitality is so important that in the New Testament is presented as a mark of Christian maturity. Hospitality is so important that the New Testament presented as a mark of Christian maturity. And how I know that? Because it says that pastors should be hospitable. Like, imagine the importance of this. Sometimes we see hospitality as, oh, that's a good thing. Sometimes I open my house for doing some activities. No, it's something really important. It's part of the core virtues that are in the Christian life. It's not a random thing that the Bible, inspired by God, say that a pastor should be hospitable. It's something really important. Look, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. It says, an overseer then must be above reproach, husband of one wife, temperate, sensible, respectable, hospitable, able to teach. So hospitality is so important that it's a mark of Christian maturity. And that is emphasized then in 1 Timothy chapter 5. There are some widows that should be put in on the list because they don't have maybe a family that support and receive some support from the church. But the Bible gives the requirements of what kind of widows should get some support. And it says that widow have a testimony of maturity. And one of the ways to show that maturity, that testimony, is that was a widow that showed hospitality. Look, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 9. A widow is to be put on the list only if she is not less than 60 years, having been the wife of one man, having a reputation of good works, if she has brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has assisted those in affliction, if she has devoted herself to every good work. So, as you can notice, that's an important commandment and appear in different parts of the New Testament. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and see the verse 2, but see from verse 1. Let love of the brothers continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. So hospitality shows Christian maturity because require other virtues. You must be a true believer to show real hospitality. People that are not true believers, they cannot show real hospitality because they cannot show the real love because they didn't receive the love from God yet in salvation. So for have really hospitality, it's more than open your house and do a barbecue. It's really open your heart and showing the love from the Lord. So if you are not a believer, you are not able to do that in a way that is going to be edifying. You must show generosity. Hospitality requires generosity with money, with your home, with your time, with your food, with your family, with your life. You must open your heart and life. True hospitality invites others into your personal world. It is affection and vulnerability that you sometimes need to show. You should open your home to edify a younger believer. For example, if you are a couple that have more years as a marriage, you can start thinking, there are a new couple, there are a new marriage. Maybe I'm going to invite them at our home just to have a conversation. Maybe they have different questions. They can see how a mature couple behave. How is the trait that you need to have to your wife? What is the way of a wife subject to her husband? How you do parenting? That's all that happened in the midst of hospitality. But it's not just that mature people in the church open their house. Maybe there are people that are new believers, new converts, that also open their houses and they say, we are going to open our house to invite mature people so we can ask questions, so we can start getting together and learn from other people in the church. So everyone, a true believer, should show hospitality. Open your home also to evangelize. Open your home to widows and elderly. Invite those who cannot repay you. You remember what Luke 14 says? So we do this for the sake of the Lord, to show the Lord that we receive from God. And I think that greeting someone new at the church with love is the first act of hospitality. I want to tell you something. We need to start coming to the church on Sundays, not with the attitude of someone that is like a consumer or something, someone that is come to consume something. No, we don't come here to that. We should come every Sunday, and when we are coming in the car, we should pray and say, Lord, what is the way that you want me to use today? Maybe I need to say hi to someone. Maybe I need to pray with someone. We don't come here to be served. We come here to serve others. But sometimes when the time pass and we repeat this Sunday after Sunday, we start forgetting what we are doing here. But we are here to serve our Lord. And the way to serve our Lord is serving each other and showing love to each other. So we need to pray. We need to come here and say, Lord, how you are going to use us? How you are going to make me an instrument of your love? And greeting someone, inviting someone that you don't know, introducing some people to others is a way to show the love that we receive from the Lord. You know, in this church is a family that I really love. They attend the Spanish ministry. Their name is Juan and Barbara. That family taught me this sermon with their example many years ago. When we arrived here in 2015, we don't have too many opportunities like to go to vacations to any place. And our vacations, many summers, happen going to Barbara's and Juan's house. That was our vacations, like go to Juan's and Barbara's house. And we spent many times together. They opened their house, they opened their hearts, and they became kind of our parents here in the States for many years. And they bless us in many ways with their love, with their support. It was really special that when I graduated from the first master's degree that I get at Master's in Divinity, my family from Colombia didn't able to come. My in-laws didn't come. No one from the family. But Juan and Barbara traveled to LA, and they went to my graduation. And they were there as representatives, as they were our parents. So this is something that you really can impact many people, showing love to others. And the Lord gave you many things, many experience, many resources. But you need to start thinking, how I gonna use what the Lord gave me to bless others and show the love that I receive from the Lord? We are an instrument. We are that the people can see Jesus Christ in our lives. That's something different, and say, like, I can see Jesus in that life. And we need to do it because we receive so much from the Lord. We are a global family in Christ. And this world is very hostile to Christians. Where else we will find refuge if not with our brothers and sisters in Christ? And the third point, the command to show hospitality rewarded. The command to show hospitality rewarded. You see the command neglected, the command explained, and finally the command to show hospitality rewarded. There is a reward for all who humbly and faithfully practice God's commands. Hospitality will be rewarded by God. See the verse 2 in chapter 13. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. So what it means that? This does not mean that if you host someone who later disappears, they were an angel. They maybe simply mean that that was an ungrateful brother, but we still love them. But what this means, what is the author of Hebrews saying? As you see, he's referring to the past. He's looking to the Old Testament. And what he's saying is, look, in the past, in the Old Testament, there are many people that showed hospitality, trying to bless other people, but they were the ones that received a blessing. That what happened. That what happened with Abraham and Sarah. That what happened with Lot. That what happened with Gideon in Judges. Like many times people opening their house, opening their lives to serve others, but what they finally receive is that they sometimes even receive the visit from the Lord to bless them. They want to bless other people, but they receive the blessing from the Lord. So that's the reward. Notice the phrase refers to the past. So it means that faithful people in the past practice hospitality without knowing God will bless them through those visits. So the author's point is that when we open our homes, that when we open our hearts, our lives, intending to bless others, most of the time we are the ones who receive the blessing. We want to bless, but God blesses us. And that also makes me remember Matthew 25 that says that when we do something to someone in the body of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ thinks that is as you are doing it to me. You do something to someone in the body of Christ, and Jesus said, when you do something to another brother in Christ, is the same as you are doing it to me, and you are going to get your reward. Let me end and conclude by reminding that hospitality reflects the gospel. We were strangers and enemies of God, yet through the blood of Jesus, we been reconciled, and he gave us access not only to his heavenly dwelling, but to his family. We are adopted as children. And trying to connect this with the gospel and trying to understand, you can see the Lord as a judge who declares innocent someone that is a criminal. You know, we get that example many times. Like, the Lord say, you are free. Your debt is free. And sometimes we think that's the gospel. But you know what? That's just part of the gospel. Because sometimes we can think that God say, okay, you are free. You have the forgiveness of all your sins, but please stay away from me. Like, be far from me. You are forgiven, but don't come close to me because you are such a great sinner. But that's not what the Lord do. He say, like, you are free, completely free and clean, but not also that. I want to be close to you. I want that you be part of my family. And that comes from the abundant grace of the Lord, from the abundant hospitality that he have, that he abounds in love. There is a huge Trinitarian love, but it abounds. So he create more to show the love that is among the Trinity. And that's incredible. So when we are practicing hospitality, what we are doing is showing the same love that we receive. We are being accepted, being different, being sinners, but we receive a great love from the Lord. Now, we need to practice the same. When the people see our lives, can see Jesus Christ and his character show us. If that is the great love that we have received, we must reflect that love to others. And hospitality is a means of reflecting the love of Christ. There are commandments that look without importance, but when we study it well, we realize their importance. And that's Hebrews 13:2. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your love. Forgive us for neglecting your commandments so many times. Not just the neglect of hospitality, but many sins that we commit with our minds, with our words, with our attitudes. We ask for forgiveness and we give thank you for Jesus Christ. He lives a perfect life. He died on the cross for our sins. And now we are close to you. We are part of your family. Help us to obey in a way that reflects the gospel. Thank you for promising blessings to sinners like us. Thank you for overflowing hospitality and grace in accepting us into your family. And I ask you, Lord, that you help us to be a church that reflects your character, loving others as we receive your love. I ask that you bless this church, that you help us to keep growing in our partnership. And thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. Open your word and please bless us. Help us to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your love, for your grace, for your forgiveness. And I give thanks especially for this church. I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.